Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's with gladness and sadness that I reconfirm that this is going to be our last class. And I'm excited about what I want to share today. But before we do that, I'd like to ask Dennis to open in prayer, please.
Thank you. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day that you've made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, thank you for the people that came today to hear an important lesson. And thank you for our leader, Rabbi Bruce, and his wife, who all are generous enough to put this all together and teach us. And Lord, we just thank you for being with us. We know when two or more of us are gathered, you're right in the midst of us. And we thank you, and we praise you, we worship you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. After the class today, Paula will be accepting reservations for the Seder and payment for such to those who haven't already signed up. So you can see Paula. You all know who she is. She's up front in church every Sunday giving announcements and asking, taking the offerings and stuff like that. And someone said they had a question. Chris?
Well, I was just going to ask you, like, on the seven numbers, I don't know anything about medical. I just want to kind of hear it.
It's not really one of those seven mountains, but it comes under a couple different things, mostly government.
Okay.
Because what happened with the medical system under the fraudulent, evil government that's trying to take down our country was because they were ordered or mandated or threatened to do it the way they did. So, other questions from previous times that anyone wants to ask yet? The title for today's class is The Saints Possess the Kingdom.
Say again?
The Saints Possess the Kingdom.
Okay, easy for you to say.
Faith is wonderful. We all have to have it, but it must be acted on to produce results. If Abraham hadn't acted on his faith and left Ur to go to Canaan, he never would have inherited the promised land. And God wouldn't have been able to make an everlasting covenant with him. If Moses hadn't acted on his faith, he wouldn't have led the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity and to the promised land. And if David hadn't acted on his faith, he wouldn't have defeated Goliath. And the list goes on and on. In James chapter 2 and verse 5, James chapter 2, verse 5, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? And then going on to verse 20 of chapter 2 in James. James 2, verse 20. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Other places, in Ephesians, for example, it says, don't you know that you're not saved by works, it's only by faith. But we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about justification. And it says in Romans that those he saved, he sanctified. Those he sanctified, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So it's an ongoing process. It doesn't occur all at once. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 60, 1 and 2, it says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. We're in a season when deep darkness is trying to cover the earth. But God is saying, arise, shine, your light has come.
Amen.
Let your light so shine that the glory of the Lord can rest on you. And every time darkness is confronted by light, it cannot overcome it. It cannot seize on it and hold it down. Light always overcomes darkness.
Hallelujah.
Now, there's many, many, many believers in the world who are willing to be salt and light. More in other places than we see in the West, even. And I'm going to talk more about that. But a judgment has been made in heaven, and the Father is the one who's the righteous judge. And the judgment is in favor of the saints of the Most High God.
Yes.
John chapter 12, John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. This is Jesus speaking. And I, Jesus, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Now let's go back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. We're going to review the scriptures I've shared from Daniel in the past so that they can really sink in and you can start to really absorb everything that this is saying. Starting in verse 31, Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 31, he's telling Nebuchadnezzar what the dream that he had consisted of and the interpretation. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest of arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So the top part of the image, gold, represents the Babylonian Empire. The second part represents the Medo-Persian Empire, which followed. The third part represents the Greek Empire, that Alexander the Great is the one that we know about the most from world history. The fourth image is Rome. And the stone cut out without hands is Jesus coming. And when all those other kingdoms are broken and don't exist anymore, which has already happened exactly as Daniel declared it in his prophecy, then that mountain grows until it fills the entire earth, which is the metaphor for the kingdom. It's like the leaven that's put in a few places in a loaf and it fills up the entire loaf that we saw in one of the parables. Now let's go to Daniel 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, all the kings talked about in those other kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. When will it be destroyed?
Never.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Who's it going to be left to? Nobody. It's going to exist forever. And it's only for us. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Okay, those are things that we've covered before. But if you notice, there's another vision described in Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7. Let's go there. Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 2. We haven't talked about this one before. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side, had 3 ribs in its mouth and between its teeth, and they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. The books were opened. And I watched then, because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Verse 13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the ancient days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. And then down in verse 22 of Daniel chapter 7, it says, the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Verses 23 through 27 of Daniel chapter 7. The fourth beast shall be a kingdom on earth which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High God. Now, I've been in different Bible studies where they're studying the book of Revelations, the book of Daniel, and they try and say that this second vision with the four beasts is similar or the same as, or represents the same thing as the vision from of the giant statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw. But I'm telling you that is not true. Okay, the first beast that was like a lion with eagle's wings, the lion, these are kingdoms that were going to come, but they never took over the whole world. They never had the same influence in the world at large that the kingdoms described in Nebuchadnezzar's visions had. They wanted to do it, but they never could. So the first one, the lion, that represents the British Empire. When you hear about the British Empire, their symbol is the lion. The lion originally had eagle's wings, but the wings were plucked off of it. The eagle's wings represent America. It's the only place I can find America in the Bible. America's symbol is the eagle. The British Empire, it said the sun never set on the British Empire. It stretched over around the world. But once America split from Britain and declared its independence, the British Empire started to crumble and eventually failed on its own. The bear represents Russia. Russia wanted to dominate the world and built a large union of socialist republics, but it failed. And we saw Reagan say to Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And it was torn down. It crumbled under its own problem of communism when the people in the country saw that capitalism, other countries were thriving, and they were failing. And they just couldn't maintain their kingdom. The leopard represents Germany. Germany twice tried to dominate the world in World War I and World War II, but they failed for various reasons. The biggest reason World War II Germany failed was because Hitler bit off more than he could chew by trying to win on two fronts at the same time. And when he attacked Russia on the Eastern Front and the Allies on the Western Front, he didn't have enough resources or troops to sustain both fronts, and his kingdom crumbled also. I'll talk about the fourth one soon, but there's another vision I want to show you. And this goes back to the name of this class. The Old Testament is revealed in the New, and the New Testament is concealed in the Old. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. Remember now, this is a vision seen by John. Revelation is a book describing a vision. It's not prophetic the way Daniel was. Daniel's book of prophecies, all the ones that have been fulfilled were fulfilled perfectly. He has a track record of perfect fulfillment of his prophetic words. Some haven't come to pass yet. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Oh, that sounds familiar. And on his horns, ten crowns, and on the heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. A lot of the people, especially in the West, believe that the beast represents the Antichrist. But, and that Babylon represents some system of world government that was going to take over the whole earth under the power of the Antichrist. But Rome is called Babylon in Scripture. Rome is Babylon. Just like right now, there's times when we cannot say certain words publicly on social media or will be censored and taken off. People have to speak in code. Back then, if they were communicating about Rome and they actually had said Rome, they would have been sought after and probably killed. So they said Babylon, and everyone knew that they were talking about Rome. The beast represented Nero, as I've told you before. But this is a different one. This new beast that they're talking about that was mortally wounded and then came back to life, I believe also refers to Rome. Because Rome was utterly defeated as a military kingdom, but it came back to life as a religious, influential kingdom under the Roman Catholic Church, and the head of the Roman Catholic Church in terms of influence and authority was the Vatican. Chapter 14, verse 8 of Revelation. This is just one more verse. Another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she had made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Well, the city of Rome fell in 40 AD. 410 AD. 410. The entire Roman Empire fell in 416 AD. However, Rome came back to life as the beast that had a mortal deadly wound and came back to life, but it came not as a military kingdom, but a religious kingdom. The Roman Catholic Church, specifically as corrupt seat of power, the Vatican, merged with the world banking system controlled by the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. And they were also joined by numerous secret societies, such as Freemasons, Knights Templar, Jesuits, Illuminati, Khazarian Mafia, and others. And that became known worldwide as the Cabal. In America, we have a penchant for calling it the Deep State. But it's a system that wants to control the world and enslave everybody through their control of these seven mountains of authority. That's why I put that on there. So they started 500 years or more ago. And the way that they inserted themselves into authority in these seven mountains of authority is through bribery, blackmail, because they controlled the world banking system. It was also through wars. Every time there's been a war in the last 500 years, they supported both sides of it, and they became rich because of it. Every war is just a way for them to increase their power and their wealth. And they don't care how many innocent lives are killed. They care nothing about life and people except their own. Every single influential leader in these seven areas of authority is controlled by them in our country through blackmail and bribery. Everyone. We all know that the government is horribly corrupt. We all know that the Federal Reserve Bank, the World Economic Forum, and these other entities have made a mess of our economy for the purpose of taking America down. They're not trying to help us. They're trying to destroy us. The media have been in the pocket of these liberal, tyrannical, ruling people for the last, I don't know how long, but there's never been a time when a popular president who won the presidency against all odds like Trump has been 99% of the things written in the media and on the TV and on the news about him were negative, horrible, and mostly lies and, you know, slander. And he never got a fair shake. But people who commit crimes openly and brag about it, nothing is done to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joe Biden was recorded, and we've all seen the recording of him saying when he was vice president and he went to Ukraine, I told them if they don't fire the prosecutor who's going after this company that Hunter is getting millions of dollars from, I won't give them the $2 billion that I came to present to the leadership, and they only have another 6 hours to make up their mind. And son of a bee, they fired him, and they got the $2 billion. That was $2 billion of our taxpayers' money that he had no right to bargain with. Talk about quid pro quo. But then they said that President Trump, because he had a reasonably good phone call with Zelensky, had committed a horrible quid pro quo that was needing to be impeached over. The disparity between the legal system for the liberal left and us is so terrible that it's unbelievable. I mean, the economy, we talked about the media, we talked about the education system. Once they got in power, they started changing the basic curricula, starting all the way down in elementary school. There's places where they want to teach third graders woke sexuality and all kinds of weird stuff that kids don't need to know and their parents are responsible for talking to them about. And teachers are trying to present stuff like that to people who are 8 years old, 9 years old in schools, public schools. It goes all the way up to the colleges. They've been controlled by bribery and blackmail as well. And you can't, I mean, there's places where conservative speakers have been rioted away from giving their speeches at liberal colleges all over the country, but anybody with a liberal agenda can come and say anything they want. And what about censorship? We never had censorship before. We always trusted our First Amendment rights for freedom of speech. But in the last 5 or 10 years, they've tried to censor everyone who wants to tell the truth or speak a conservative viewpoint, and they'll let anybody who wants to say anything that fits their agenda say anything they want in any media group or sphere of influence that they want to speak. Arts and entertainment used to be that we could trust that you wouldn't see nudity, blatant sexuality, and things on TV, but now every TV sitcom wants to promote homosexuality and adultery and all kinds of other things. They haven't made a movie worth watching if it's not a Christian movie in I don't know how long. And the movies are becoming more and more demonic all the time. And they're trying to soften and condition people to think that that's normal by just wearing and breaking down their mind with all the propaganda that covers all these different areas. They tried to destroy families by making gay marriage legal, by putting people on welfare so that families without a father at home get paid to keep having children that they can't support without a father. And we wonder why these kids grow up in these ghetto situations and commit crimes. And they told us that church was a non-essential business, but that salons and bars and, you know, whatever they wanted to keep open, those were essential. And they took away our freedom of religion for a time. And that if we met, we had to wear masks, we had to stay 6 feet apart. Why 6 feet? And they said, well, we're just obeying the science, yet there is no science for wearing masks. A, the mask does absolutely nothing. It can't block virus particles. It holds in bacteria that you're breathing in and out, and you're more likely to get sick wearing a mask than not wearing one. 6 feet was arbitrary, but you look in all the different businesses on the floor, 666. They're flaunting what they call the number of the beast. That actually, in numerology, where letters and numbers have a meaning, spelled out Nero. Nero was the beast. He was the number 666. He was the Antichrist spirit referred to in a lot of the verses that people think are still going to happen in the future, but they already happened, as we talked about before. What would our country and the world look like if righteous, godly people were in positions of power in these seven areas? Yeah. Ask yourself about that. That's what needs to happen. Now, the one thing I didn't mention that they use to gain worldwide control is biological weapons. Like, they released AIDS, they released COVID, they used vaccines to try and carry out their satanic plan. Remember that Satan has one agenda: steal, kill, destroy. Amen. That's his only modus operandi. If they couldn't steal you away from Christ, then they want to either kill or destroy you through the use of bioweapons, vaccines that change your very basic DNA, and by promoting ideology that makes you ineffective, such as pre-tribulation rapture. And that the world is going to descend into darkness and be taken over by the Antichrist, even though it never says it in the Bible, as we talked about before. So the only thing that ever limits God is doubt and unbelief. But just like the devil cannot carry out anything unless he has people that he controls to do it for him. And God has made it so that he wants to use people to carry out his plans. Whose plans are we going to carry out and live our life for? If we believe a false ideology and a false doctrine and sit in the pew with our rapture rug waiting to be rescued out of the world that's descending into darkness, we're playing right into the devil's hand. But if we embrace God's narrative that his kingdom is a never-ending kingdom and it's going to expand until it fills the entire earth, which it says in both the Old and New Testament in many different places, as I've shown, then we're setting our feet on the path that will lead us to our best destiny with the Lord. Let's look at... The evil tyrannical people come like wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, a wolf in sheep's clothing has to do mostly sheep-like stuff openly, but then in the dark when nobody's watching, they bring out their wolf mentality and do all the evil stuff behind the scenes. But they've gotten so bold and so confident that they're doing the wolf things out in the open now. And that's good, because the closer they are to revealing their plans, the easier it is to let light shine and defeat them. It's not getting worse, it's getting better, because they're getting more and more desperate and blatant in what they're willing to allow us to see, in hopes that they can still turn the tide back in their favor. But they know they're losing, they're panicking, and they're going to do anything they can to continue to fight and not give up until they're taken down. War, death, and treason are the weapons of the wolves in sheep's clothing. Let's go to Matthew 28. This next little section, I call it But God. Amen. One of our favorite two-word verses, but God. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Am I missing something? It says, "All authority." Doesn't say except for the part that's given to the future Antichrist, except for the part that's given to the Luciferian World Economic Forum. All authority has been given unto Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. John chapter 19 and verse 30. John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. There's nothing more that Jesus can or needs to do.
That's right.
He's done everything for us that we need to be successful at bringing God's kingdom to earth. He's not coming to rescue people. He's not going to come more than once. And when he comes that one time, it's going to be at the end of the age to receive a victorious kingdom and a glorious bride. And there's going to be a resurrection. the verses that were described in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and Matthew 24 all describe similar things. Jesus coming on the clouds with a great group of angels and witnesses, the trumpet blast heard around the world, and a great shout. That's not going to happen twice, 7 years or whatever apart, as people would have us believe. It's going to happen one time and one time only. And there's going to be a resurrection, not a rapture. I'm sorry if this goes against things you've heard and been taught all your lives, but now is the time that truth has to come forward. And I can't sit on this once I've heard about it. I have to speak it out, or I won't be doing my part. In Ezekiel, it talks about the watchman. The watchman was placed on the wall, and he saw the enemy coming. If he warned the people, and the people fled, and weren't, they wouldn't be killed, but some would, who didn't flee, if they were killed, it was on them because the watchman had issued the warning. But if the watchman failed to issue the warning, all the people who were killed when the enemy came would be accredited to his account. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to us who believe, but we have to believe the right stuff. Here's something we all have to think about believing if you don't already. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'm going back there. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the timing is very sure. Once the Christ is born and he establishes the kingdom, it's going to move forward from that time forever. It's not going to have any backsliding, ever.
And now is part of forever.
Yes. The only thing, as I said, that limits God is doubt and unbelief, and no one has ever been rebuked for having too much faith. In Daniel 2:44, it says that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left to other people. In chapter 7, verse 22, it says, the Ancient of Days came, a judgment was made in the favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And in verse 21, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole of heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High God. In Habakkuk 2:14, it says, the glory of God will cover the whole earth as the oceans cover the, as the waters cover the sea. In Matthew 13:33, let's look at that. Matthew 13:33. Two The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of the meal till it was all leavened. And Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is incredible, but I'm just going to read a few verses. There's 40 verses in this psalm. 9 through 11. For all evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 18 through 20. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the times of famine they shall be satisfied. Sounds like spiritual Goshen that we talked about. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. And verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. You can read the entire psalm. It's all like that. There's nothing about darkness and evil and the Antichrist, only about the saints inheriting the kingdom, and it's a forever kingdom. Matthew 5:5 says the meek shall inherit the earth. In Genesis 1:26, when God created man, he said, have dominion over everything alive on earth. All the plants, all the animals, fish, birds, every creepy thing that creeps upon the earth, they have dominion over. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We talked about this before. I want to go there again. Hosea 6, verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. Yes, there will be times of pain. And there will be times that seem like circumstances are awful or getting worse. But the Lord is going to heal us, and he's going to bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. 1,000 years, like a single day, a day like 1,000 years. The first 2,000 years after Christ, at the end of that time, in the 20th century, revivals broke out that changed the world. Welsh Revival, Azusa Street Revival, then the Jesus Revolution, the Healing Revivals of the 50s, other revivals, the Toronto Blessing, Brownsville, in Pensacola, the one where I got saved in Minnesota, all happened at the same time, 1995, 1996, 1997, 1998. And now we're seeing, you know, things happening in at Christian colleges and other colleges, and things are happening, and they're different. They're not the same type of revival that people are used to. But the reason that God is reviving and raising up the church is so we can dwell in his presence. To live in his sight means to dwell in his presence. So we can begin inheriting a kingdom that's going to fill the entire world by carrying out our instruction. Go and make disciples and teach them and baptize them and tell them everything I told you. You don't have to make up your own words. You just have to know Jesus' words. So judgment has been made in favor of believers, the saints of the Most High God, as we saw. A total takedown of all the evil powers remaining World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, UN, Deep State, Cabal, is about to take place. The prophets are speaking it. Prophets come to point the finger in the face of tyrannical rulers and to tell people what is coming, people who believe, people who understand the role of a prophet. It hasn't changed. Then Christianity will fill the whole world. Well, you might be thinking or wanting to ask, how can this happen? How can Christianity fill the entire world? I'm glad you asked. There's a lot of surveys that different people have been tapping into and have been sharing. I'll just give you some statistics here. You don't need to write them down. Just listen. In 1900, there were less than 1 million charismatic Christians. That means people who are spirit-filled, mostly speak in tongues, believe in the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in us, in the whole earth, all, globally, I'm talking about. And that same survey group is predicting that by 2050, there will be 1.2 billion spirit-filled believers, charismatic Christians. Right now, there's 700 million, right now in 2023. In the last three plandemic years, there was 150 new Christian believers globally, just in the last 3 years.
150 what?
Million, 150 million new Christian believers globally in the last 3 years. 100,000 to 200,000 are coming to the Lord every single day. There's been 1.6 million Christian martyrs globally in the last 10 years. Christians being martyred, people think of that's the tribulation, but it's been happening to the tune of 1.6 million in the last 10 years. So we must embrace God's narrative expressed throughout Scripture. God's kingdom narrative is total victory on earth for the sons and daughters of the King. We will not descend further and further into darkness and have a takeover by the Luciferian Antichrist spirit. And you can't be a saltless believer or hide your light under a basket concerned only with your own salvation and your own ticket to heaven being punched. I really urge people, if you don't know what it is already, and 90% of Christians in surveys say they don't know what their calling is, that you find your that and act on it. And what I mean by that is in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12. Apostle Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This is one of my life verses, laying hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Why? Remember, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Why were you chosen by God? What were you chosen to do for his kingdom, for the body of Messiah? That is what I call your that. And I'm just encouraging you, urging you, find your that. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Go to people that you trust who are in leadership in your fellowships and churches and ask them, what do you see me being able to do for God's kingdom? There's no one's ever too old.
Amen.
No one's ever too compromised. No one's ever sinned too much that they can't be forgiven and used by God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. For as the body is one and has many members, But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also was Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, male or female, old or young. All have been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. And in verse 18, it says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all stand or appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're appearing because we may not be able to stand in his presence. All the people who have seen even angels or the Lord glorified have not been able to stand in his presence in Scripture. And when the glory of the Lord comes down, it throws people, even priests, on their faces. So that's why I think it says the word appear before the judgment seat of Christ, because we probably won't be able to stand. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And it doesn't mean your earth suit body, but it means the body of Christ. How did you perform the part you were chosen for and placed in the body to do? How did you do that? And last but not least, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And in Colossians 4, verse 12, the second part of it, it says that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. More than 10 years ago, the Holy Spirit told me, put those two together. Fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's what I want for each of you and for us. Pharaoh tried to destroy God's people. Pharaoh died. He is no more. Amalek tried to destroy God's people. Amalek died. He is no more. Haman tried to destroy God's people. Haman was hung on them. Gallo he set up for Mordecai. He is no more. Hitler tried to destroy God's chosen people. Hitler died. He is no more. Stalin, Saddam Hussein, the Ayatollah Khomeini, Mahmoud Abbas and Hamas and all these other groups that want to destroy Israel or God's people, they're all going to die. They're going to be no more. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He lives forever. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's not going to let his people perish under any circumstances. You can trust him. Amen. But we need, I believe, to align ourselves with what his word says. The word has to always come first. Mm-hmm. After the word, there's going to be a war about the glory and the meaning of the words, and Satan tries to get people to believe lies, but the word of God overcomes every lie of the enemy. By the truth always overcomes the lie, in other words. That's why you need to know the word for yourselves and not rely on others. I want to make a disclaimer. When I was talking about the Roman Catholic Church ascending to power and the Vatican and all that, I'm not talking about Catholics, their religion and the people and the typical priesthood in churches all over our country. I'm talking about the evil ruling power in the Vatican that's aligned themselves with the world banks and the cabal. And it's all going to come out eventually. We're going to all know the truth if we live long enough. And you'll see that these things that I'm saying are starting to be revealed. But, so I don't want you to think I was disparaging Catholics. I'm not. I'm disparaging evil leaders in every group where they are. And there's definitely evil leaders in the Catholic Church in the Vatican, just like there is in our country and other places in every denomination. If the government had godly Christian people the way our country began leading it, everything would look so much better. If the economy, it wasn't until the end of the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century that the United States even had income tax. They had roads, they had hospitals, they had schools, they had bridges without taxing the population. If we had a media that honestly presented the facts and gave arguments equally for both sides of an issue, people wouldn't have been able to be brainwashed to believe so many horrible lies. If the education system that I grew up in was still present in the world, we wouldn't have two generations of young people who think socialism is good and that it's okay to mutilate their bodies and become something they weren't created to be. In every one of these areas, you can see what it would look like, and it can be that again. But we have to take action. Faith without action doesn't get anywhere. So I love you all. I thank you for being in class and listening and all your questions. I'm going to open it up for more questions now, David.
You said you were going to reveal the fourth beast or something.
Well, yeah, the one that came back to life that had a mouth and teeth and all that was really the Roman Empire reinvented as a military, instead of a military system, a religious system. That's what I was talking about. And it's in both the beast is the same. And then when in the one in Revelation, it mentions China, or the dragon, that's China. It's talking about the nation states that are threatening to try and dominate the world again, but will not be successful. And so the British Empire, the European Union is the lion, the bear, Russia, the leopard, Germany, the dragon, China. Yeah.
Bruce, I remember a detail that I'm not sure if it came from you, but somewhere I saw a detail that the percentage of the pastors in the United States that believe that the Bible is the final and true word of God, it seems like it was 29 or 39%.
I've heard it was 30%, yeah.
30%, okay.
I didn't say that here, but I've heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of evil in the churches right here in our country. How can they not believe that the word of God is true and still be leading people to truth?
There was a wonderful worship group that came out of a church in Minnesota, and they had a song. It was called Heart of the City Band, and they had a song, "We Need to Build His Kingdom Instead of Our Own." I think too many church leaders are concerned with building their own kingdom and keeping their followers and getting them to put money in the offering and paying for a bigger building, a bigger airplane for them, and and they teach prosperity so they can prosper even if other people don't. That's wrong. And At least 50% of Christian pastors in anonymous surveys admitted that they were addicted to pornography and other things, which is about the same number as in the world at large. Yeah. Jane?
Tell the story, Francis and Hannah. Our friends who are really, he's apostolic because he's started and ministered in many countries of Africa. He's Kenyan.
He founded like 800 churches in five African, East African countries surrounding Kenya.
In our living room, and we've heard the story that he had been dead for 3 days. I could go into that more, but that's a for sure certainty physically. And I asked her, how did you know to pray for him, to believe he was going to be raised from the dead? She said, it's in the Bible. We didn't know anything else. Mm. I say that to strike at our hearts. How much do we actually believe? I could tell you the whole story and why she could have been in that state, but I wanted you to see that point.
Thank you. Other questions or comments?
I would just comment. One of the things I appreciate so much about you is your dedication to the Word, not following a principle that someone else has established, a teaching that someone else has established, but our responsibility, even what you bring to us, our responsibility still is to go to the Word.
Yes.
And I so appreciate that about you. And we look forward to your next class.
Thank you, Paula. Maybe in the fall, we'll see. Other questions or comments from the Peanut Gallery?
I have a comment. I think in a way, and I've thought this for a long time, is the freedom of religion and speech. If we would be brave about that and go forward and do what we're supposed to do, first off, that's we would teach our families to do that. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, then the family sits down for the arts and entertainment, okay?
Yeah.
But what we need to do is fight back about how awful things have gotten to be. You know, we should all write letters or social media or whatever that says, you know, we're not going to stand for this anymore. You know, that this is not what we want to see, you know, and I have felt so strongly about that, and I've just been up taking care of my great-grandchildren the last 2 weeks, and what has been wonderful for me is everything that I've been learning through all these classes. My grandson, when I was there at Christmas, they wanted me to watch The Chosen with them and explain things in The Chosen to them, okay? And my little 3-year-old, he just turned 3. Every time before they eat, he already knows his prayers before he eats. Mm-hmm. You know, they've taught him how to pray before he goes to sleep. That influence is because I've been talking to them so much and told them what they had to do.
Yeah.
And do you know Barb, who all of you know, when my grandson was born, she said to me, he's going to be a man of God. And that wasn't happening for a very long time. But you know what? He is really strong now about bringing God to his children.
Mm. Wonderful.
And, you know, the fact that we sit down and watch The Chosen rather than watch anything else, I think that says a lot for them that they're hungry. You know, and that they want to know about these things. And at the opposite end of that, last night, I couldn't sleep, and I was still at my daughter's house. And I thought, well, I'll just watch a movie. One of the Oscar-nominated movies.
Yeah. Oops.
The one that was called Tar with Kate Blanchett. It was one of the most awful movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it was about a lesbian woman and how she And this was a true story, because she was a very world-famous conductor. And how she was exposed then, because she used to take people from her community and said she would advance them if they would do sexual favors for her. And, but she got exposed, and all of a sudden her career just went really down. I don't know why I watched it or why I continued to watch it. I kept thinking, it's got to get better. Mm-hmm. This is so evil. And I thought, how could that movie have been nominated for an Oscar?
Because that's what they're purporting.
Right.
If it happened now, her career wouldn't tumble. It would be enhanced.
Right. You know, so I just think we have to have a stronger voice.
I couldn't agree more. Let me just read one more scripture. You don't have to write it down. It's Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. Mm-hmm. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. The creation, in some ways, is smarter than we are. It's waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed so they can start establishing the kingdom, reversing the curse. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, even creation, the curse on it, will be reversed. And I think the ultimate final act is that the whole world is like a Garden of Eden, and the whole world is like the upper room where the Spirit is poured out on all believers everywhere, everyone everywhere, not just on a few in 120, whatever. And that's the ultimate fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Here.
One thing I've noticed, that whenever the light is present, there's never a struggle with darkness. And if we stand up, just if we expose the light, the darkness is not there.
That's right. David?
I appreciate the time you took to take us on this journey.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you all. I want you to know that there's times when I'm studying on my own and I feel like I'm so full of the Word or what God has been revealing to me that if I don't have an outlet for it, I'll explode. So thank you for coming and giving me a chance to avoid being exploded.
Bruce, rain over us. Just rain over us. We love it. We love it.
To God be all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.